Anyway, it's good to be back again tonight, the Room Fellowship, and the Lord richly bless you for being here once again as we break the Word of Life, the Word of Help Us. Oh, give us food for the soul. It shall nourish us and keep us in our adversity and our temptation. Whatever may come our way, the Word of God shall help us to overcome. Now, we can be overcomers. Amen. By the Word of God, through His precious Word. We need His Word. Today is Father's Day. We acknowledge most of all our Heavenly Father, the goodness that He has shown to us, His power and His Spirit being real and speaking to our hearts, drawing us. That's the only way. Through what God had brought forth through the redemption plan for all mankind to be saved, it was Jesus that died for us, but it's the Father that draws men to Christ to be saved. So we know the Father is the one to draw men to Jesus. Have you ever thought of it that way? The Father is what's drawing men to Jesus. Scripture said, no man can be saved unless the Father draw him. The Spirit of God draws men to repentance. Amen. So the Father is drawing us to Jesus, the precious Son of God who died for us, that through His shedding of His blood we can be saved. Day being Father's Day, I'm thankful for my Father here this morning. Thankful for my, amen, my children all are saved now in church. I praise the Lord for that. The Lord's been working. I praise Him for that. Probably being here, just appreciate what the Lord is doing in our family. We know that God's answering prayer, and I appreciate. There's one thing that me and my wife had always tried to do in raising our children, to teach them the ways of the Lord and help them. And it now has paid off. Away from it, train up a child in the way he should go. When he grows old, he will not depart from that. God for that. I thank God for Jacob. Jacob is a very smart young man. He made top in his class. He'd be going on now to junior high school. Teacher wrote in his annual, he's a very smart young man. Really strives to make good grades, and he's doing what the Lord's doing for him. Like a surgeon one day, I don't know. Heading off in a good direction. I appreciate helping him. Lord, just the blessings are upon us, and we appreciate what the Lord is doing. He can help us. Amen. So I just appreciate what the Lord has done. If you have any Bibles, I'd like to be turning to 2 Corinthians. Very familiar scripture here, but there's a very spiritual meaning here to these scriptures. One way we can look at this verse of scripture, I guess you could say in one sense, it's a Father's Day message. But I'm not preaching it as a Father's Day message, but we can get some Father's instruction from these verses. From 2 Corinthians chapter number 6, begin reading verse number 16. 6 and 16. What agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God. As God has said, I will dwell in them and walk in them. I will be their God, and they shall be my people. God is mentioned four different times here in this one verse. Four different times. Is that right? Verse number 17, wherefore come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you. This is where the Father comes in verse number 18. And I will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord God Almighty. I preached from these verses, I don't know, a few years ago at Open Praise, and amen. I preached a message, what does God require to be our Father? Amen. From these verses of Scripture. But I want to go on in a different message this morning from these verses. I like to preach on spiritual separation. Spiritual separation. If we look back to verse number 17 and what he said, wherefore come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and be ye separate. I want us to learn from that verse right there in verse number 17, from that word, separate. The Bible does clarify, amen, what this verse really means. And I want us to receive from the Word of God this morning and what we need to learn of spiritual separation. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we're so thankful once again that we can bring forth the Word of Life. Jesus said that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Lord, on this Father's Day, we do acknowledge you as our Heavenly Father. And what Jesus said, fear not, little flock, it's my Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. And we're thankful, Lord, that we do, and we are in the kingdom of God. But take this message this morning, Lord. Let us learn from this spiritual separation for every believer, for every child of God. Help us to learn of all thy precepts and statutes and judgments, and walk in the line of thy word, to be holy, Lord, and to live separated from this life, from this world. Do help us, bless, and supply the need of your people, and what is ever accomplished, we'll forevermore praise you. And everyone that loved the Lord said, amen.
Amen.
And you may be seated. Praise be to God. We come to know in spiritual separation, and what I read to you, to be separate, saith the Lord. Now, Paul didn't say this. Amen. Abraham didn't say this. Peter didn't say this. But verse 17 says, be ye separate, saith the Lord. So we come to know it's God's will for people to be separate. But there is a learning that we can learn from the Old Testament times, that God had called his people to be separated even in the Old Testament times. He referred to his people being separated from the other nations that surrounded them. What does that separation really mean, preacher? And that's what we want to learn from this morning. There is a concept of separation. Amen. From evil, it is fundamental to God's relationship with his people. According to Holy Scripture, separation involves two dimensions, which is separating ourselves morally and spiritually from sin and from everything that is contrary to Jesus Christ. Also, drawing near to God in a close and intimate relationship, which is through prayer and worship and receiving the word and love and service. Separation has a twofold sense, which results in a relationship where God is our Heavenly Father, who lives with us, and he is our God. And we in turn, as the scripture said, that we are his sons and daughters. In the Old Testament, we come to know that God has called his people to be holy and different, and separated from all other people. We come to know one key reason God punished his people with exile into Assyria and Babylon was they persistently accommodated themselves to the idolatry and wicked lifestyles of the nation that surrounded them, all the nations that surrounded them. But there is a New Testament meaning as well as the Old Testament meaning. In the New Testament, God calls us as believers to be separate from the corrupt world system and from any unholy compromise. That we as the children of God, amen, should come to know that in the last day, as the church, there are false teachers, there are cults, there are people that are teaching truth with error and misleading multitudes. Many are denying biblical truth. Amen. So we need to know the truth, that the truth shall make us free. So we come to know the separation in the New Testament time, that we as children of God, we refuse to sin. Amen. We refuse to do that. We refuse, amen, to yield to sin, that we shall flee from sin and the very appearance of evil. We're living in a very evil, corrupt world now. Oh, yes. Just like I heard from John McGill this week. Amen. Thursday, he called me. I hadn't talked to him in close to 20 years, and he called me. He said, the Lord saved him in January. He said, brother, I come to know in 16 years of being backslidden on God that the church is not what it used to be. He's starting to know now as he gets back into church that church is not nothing like it used to be. You can't seem to get people committed. You can't seem to get people to love the Lord like they used to. You can't seem to get people faithful to the work of God anymore. Church don't have no meaning, no purpose like it used to. Amen. People in society go to church. Church is now a social hall. That's what it's become, a social hall for many people. People would rather have fellowship, but behind those two doors, than to hear the word of God. Amen. That's the truth. They would have hot dog sales and yard sales, and there's nothing wrong with some of these things, but they always want to try to look at things that they can do more in the financial needs of the church than the spiritual needs of the church. We're most concerned for the spiritual needs of the church than any other thing.
Amen.
We can get by with this building, but we can try to raise money to buy or purchase a bigger one or whatever need may be. But saints of God, we must come to know it's in the spiritual aspect of things in the church. It's the spiritual concern that we have for others. It's the spiritual needs of the church of Jesus Christ. And therefore we have become separated. Amen. People look over sanctification even now and say, come on, get saved, get filled with the Holy Ghost. Come on, get saved, get filled with the Holy Ghost. Well, what's wrong with that preacher? They're skipping over what we must do to be a candidate for the Holy Ghost. Amen. They still want to say they're receiving the Holy Ghost and look like Jezebels and running and shouting in the flesh and doing all they can to please themselves, not able to please God. The work of sanctification, and what we refer to as a separation, amen, from the world, the entertainments and styles and fashions of the world, we know all about that. We've been taught that. We've heard that preached. Amen. But it goes a lot deeper than that. It goes a lot deeper than just a separation from the world, the things of the world, and the entertainments and all that the world may offer. I want to come to know that in that separation, that I'm going to stand up and I'm going to have this kind of attitude. I'm going to say, I hate sin. I hate all unrighteousness. I hate this world and the things of this world. And what the scripture teaches, love not the world and the things that are in the world. If you love the world, love the Father's not in you. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life. Is that right? Amen. We come to know if you're a friend of the world, you're an enemy of God. That's what the scripture teaches us. Amen. So we come to know, saints of God, that not only are we separating ourselves from all the ungodly lifestyles of the world, but I have this attitude that I hate sin. That's the only way that you can have, amen, the full focus of Christ in you is to hate the things that God hates and to love the things that He loves. Amen. Praise God. And that hatred towards sin and the corruption of this world, amen, is what we must do. Amen. We must be concerned about all the false doctrines that are about us and the Antichrist spirit, and we want to be separated and not to be drawn to the very influence of church world entertainments. We know what's going on right down the road not too far from here. I get all kind of news about the big mega churches. Amen. About all the entertainments and all the worldly amusements and entertainments, even through their music and all the things that's going on to lure people, amen, in their churches. What we must do, amen, in loving Christ, we must have that genuine love to be separated. And we are to fear God and pursue holiness is what we need to do. I guess you could say, well, preacher, amen, what does God really require to be our Father? All we got to do is go to that next verse in chapter number 7, verse number 1. Cleanse yourself from all filthiness of the flesh and of the spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. That's what God requires to be our Father, is perfecting holiness in the fear of God. So the answer, amen, to these verses that I read to you, that verse number 1 in chapter number 7, that follows there in that chapter number 7, is the answer for these verses. How can we be separate? How can we become sons and daughters of the Lord? How can the Lord receive us? And how shall He be a Father unto us? That we cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and of the spirit, perfecting holiness. Holiness must be a perfection within the heart. Without holiness, no man shall see God. God is a holy God. He's called us to be holy and to be a separated people. Oh, yes. So we come to know that, saints of God. So we as the people of God must understand there must become a spiritual separation. It's not only from the corrupt world. That's one step. But there's other steps that we're taking to keep us from the world. We must hate that sin. And we must pursue the things of God. What is that? Pursuing that holiness, to become holy, to become a child of God. And the purpose for all that separation is to persevere in faith and have a pure heart and to have godly love and to testify to the world that we have truth and we're receiving the blessings of the gospel. We have separated ourselves. God shall reward all those who draw near to Him. He said, draw near to Him with a true heart and the very full assurance of faith. So we come to know that. So we have separated ourselves from all the evil, which will result, if we don't, it will result in following evil, but we have resisted that evil. Amen. Even the Bible declares unto us, redeem the time, for the days are evil. And we're living in that time, saints of God, so we ourselves must come to know, as the children of God, amen, that we must have this separation. We must not follow the works of the flesh. We must see our need to put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make the provisions for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. We can't be caught up in lust and desire the things of this life. We must pursue that holiness and become a holy child of God and walk in truth and love the truth, buy the truth and sell it not, and let our life proceed and walking in holiness, and let us produce the fruits of the Spirit that shall keep us and help us. Amen. As we come to know what are we as children of God, we are bringing forth some fruit, and we have brought fruits unto repentance, and we have been enlightened to the truth, and we walk in the Spirit and see our desire to be spiritual, to live a separated life. You know, some preachers want to preach on sanctification. It's harp and harp and harp, amen, about the things of the world. Yes, we can preach all about what's in the world, but what separates us from those things, what keeps us separated from those things, amen, is the thing about it, amen, to keep our heart from desiring those things. A man can say I'm sanctified and still desire those things. Can't. I mean, he can testify when the Lord sanctified him. He might not be going out there doing the things, but he may still have some of that desire within him. So that real work of sanctification is killing out that sinful nature within you to desire the things of the world. That's what the full life of a sanctified life is. You must kill out that Adam nature within you. Amen. That sinful nature within you. Amen. You see, amen, the enemy may just be coming to the mind desiring that you desire all the things. Amen. You're not going to the worldly amusements. You're not going to the entertainment things of the world. You're not following the life and the, amen, the lifestyles and the fashion of the world, but something that the devil tempts you and brings to mind, and your meditation is upon those thoughts and desires to do those things. And that's why Jesus said, for he that looketh on a woman to lust after her has committed adultery with her already in his heart. He's not committed that. All he had to do is look and lust in his heart, and therefore was there. The sin was there. Amen. He didn't commit the act, but the sin was there. Amen. Because he meditated upon that. Amen. He thought upon that and desired that. So, amen. So we must know that what's going to kill out the lust and desires of the flesh, amen, is having a total spiritual separation taking place in our life. Amen. I'm going to hate the lust. I'm going to hate, amen, all the things of this life that allures me to be tempted and to be drawn to the lifestyles of this world. I want to be a separated person. I'm going to refuse the lust. I'm going to refuse to yield to temptation. I'm going to refuse to sin. I'm not going to walk in error. I'm going to walk in truth. I'm going to be righteous because I'm covered through the righteousness of Christ. I fear God and I shall pursue Him. I love Him and I want His, amen, truth in me. And what's going to result in it is a happy, continued, sanctified and holy life, because He is really sanctified. Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. You know, the Holy Ghost is not going to come into a person until they're really sanctified. That's how you know you're really sanctified, if you have the Holy Ghost. Once you have the Holy Ghost, you got to, amen, you got to maintain Him. You got to do some good maintenance and keep it up. Then the Holy Ghost can take His flight. So we have to maintain a separated life. We must maintain a separated life. That when Satan comes to you to try to lure you back, and those spirits begin to persuade you back, the Holy Ghost within you, amen, if we was to yield to sin or give over to sin, He quickly reproves us of the sin that we have done, and therefore we can repent unto God and say, God help me. Amen. God help me. God forgive me. Amen. He come to reprove sin and righteousness and of judgment. And if you have sin in your life, He shall reprove you. That's how we know we have the Spirit of truth. That's how we know we have the Holy Ghost. Amen. We don't play with sin. We don't pamper sin. Oh, no, we don't. If there's any sin within us, we say, God, let me have the true repentant heart, because God yield to that temptation, or yield to that sin. I say, God, cleanse me. Make me whole. I got to please you more than I please myself. I got to please you more than I please my companion. I got to please you. That's why he said we ought to walk in to please God. Did every man should know how to possess his vessel with sanctification and with honor. For God has not called us to uncleanness, but he has called us to holiness. Follow peace with all men. Without holiness, no man shall see the Lord. Amen. So we know that we must pursue these things. We must have an appetite for the things of God.
Right.
Not only is the Word of God food for the soul, amen, but we're going to receive the meat that Paul preached about. Peter referred to the milk. Paul preached about the meat. I want the meat of God's Word. Amen. I feasted on the milk for a long time, and amen, milk brought some strong bones to me. So like it was for Ezekiel in the valley of dry bones, but those bones shall live because it was nourished by the Word of God. Amen. Praise the Lord. That nourishment first come by milk, but later on it proceeded to the deeper things of God. And before I knew it, I was feasting upon the meat of God's Word. Yes, when I was down and when I was low, amen, I began to still eat some meat, and that meat brought, amen, strength to me like it did about Elijah when I preached the other service. Amen. My wife reminded me, and I reminded her. You know, I preached that message, was it last Sunday? Or Sunday before last, what it was. It is enough. We was talking about it going down the road. She said, well, he is enough. Then I had to preach too. I referred to her over in Genesis 33 about the life of Jacob and Esau. That's another message. When he said, I have enough. It is enough. He is enough. And I have enough. So we got all kind of messages going through here. But for the child of God, he'll come to know that he is enough. Amen. The other message says, do you have enough? And the other message, I preach, it is enough. But whatever the message may be for the child of God, he's going to hold on and say, the grace of God, this being so sufficient, amen, sufficient for me, is going to keep me to know that he is enough. And I'm going to maintain this relationship with God. I'm going to come to know, amen, praise God, I just don't have enough. I want more of God. I want more of him. And therefore, saints of God, I can, because I'm feasting upon the things of God. I receive the meat of his word. I'm walking in the light, for he is the light. I feasted upon the blessings of God, and I have received it. Amen. And I hunger for and desire it. Amen. Praise his name. There's nothing like, amen, hungering for the things of God. He said, as long as we follow his righteousness, and we're sanctified by the Heavenly Father, and we have fellowship with God, what shall it be for the child of God that has that true fellowship that's accepted to the Father? I want to be accepted of God, don't you, church? I want to be accepted of my Heavenly Father. Did you know that our Heavenly Father honors those who first honor him?
Right.
If we're going to honor God, we look to God. If we're going to honor and look to him and praise him and worship and adoration and humble ourselves in an altar, offering up praise and worship unto God. Amen. Praise God. God honors our worship. God honors our faithfulness. God honors that relationship that yearns, amen, for him and the soul that is ever yearning from ourselves to God. Amen. Praise God. He's going to bless and look upon us. And therefore, in return, amen, God's going to look down upon the child of God, and he loves him. Amen. At first, amen, just gives himself over. Amen. Oh, yes, to him, and yields to God, and is committed to God. Amen. The Lord is going to bless that man of God who yields himself and who cries out and who meditates and who walks with him and to please him and to walk in the Spirit and to be a spiritual man and a spiritual leader like he needs to be. Oh, I say that God's going to honor that child of God who he knows that he's his. He knows that's my man. That's my child. That's my son. Just like it was with Job. He was a perfect and upright man. One who feared God and eschewed evil. Amen. Could you imagine God's looking down and said, this is the one that I shall honor because he's first honored me. He's been faithful unto me. He's walked with me.
saints of God, that's what we need to do. I believe for the child of God that gets lost in the presence of the Holy Ghost and comes to know what it is to be separated. He comes to know what it is to love Jesus and to walk in the light, for He is the light.
Amen. And therefore we have been enlightened to what He desires to give unto the child of God. Spiritual separation. Saying I'm a true believer. Saying I'm a child of God. Yes, I've been tried. But I'm Holy Ghost filled and I'm fire baptized and I'm running for my life. Once I keep running and pressing on, I come to know that I found the pearl of great price. And I'm going to hold it close to my bosom. And no man's going to take it from me. I'm going to protect it. I'm going to maintain it. I'm going to love it. I'm going to cherish it. I'm going to long for it. Seek it, and I'm going to keep it. Amen. It's preserved in me. Praise God, because I love His Word. Amen. I love and I long to be near unto God. And He's going to fill us. Amen. He's going to walk in us and with us. Come on now. Amen. Saints of God, don't you just love Him? Don't you know? He said, come out from among me and separate, said the Lord, and touch not the unclean things. Then I will receive you. Amen. I'm going to receive you. Now you'll be my sons and my daughters. I'll be a father unto you. Cleanse yourself from all filthiness of the flesh and of the spirit. Perfecting holiness in the fear of God. It's in the fear of God. I'm walking in that fear. I'm walking in that love. I'm walking with Him. He shall help me because I am His son. And you are His daughter. We're sons and we're daughters. What is that? Ooh. Spiritual separation. What does it really mean, preacher? To be holy, to be different. God said to the Old Testament prophets, my people, I have called them to be a holy people. Moses declared unto the people, go down, sanctify yourselves and wash your clothes. There's a purification of a separation even for the Old Testament people. The Israelite people. God's saying, amen, separate from that idolatry. Separate from those gods. Separate yourself from those wicked lifestyles. Separate yourself. Well, the people begin to give themselves over to wickedness and sin. Works of the flesh. Desires of the flesh. Did they not? They even took those gold and earrings and gold and melted it and made a golden calf to worship. Amen. As I preached about the 450 prophets of Baal. Amen. Concerning the life of Elijah, that he was able to go in and slew them. Amen. Praise God in the 450 prophets of Baal and what he had said. Amen. If people are going to worship Baal, amen, they're going to worship Baal. But I want to serve the true and living God. The same God that nourished and kept Elijah as I preached. The same God that keeps us through the fire. The same God that helps us to overcome and the hour of temptation. That same God who will never leave us nor forsake us. That same God who said, I'll love you. Amen. I'll take you up and receive you into eagle's wings and bring you to myself. My Lord God, you're in the very palms of my hands. You're engraven in the palms of my hands. You are my children. I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. Take heed to my word. Stand upon my word. Hold fast to that which is good. Abstain from the very appearance of evil, saith the Lord. Draw near to me, and I'll draw nigh to you. Take and hunger for my righteousness. Take and thirst of the things of my word. I will be there to lead thee. I will continue to bless thee and uplift thee in the hour. Amen. Of temptation, you may overcome all that comes against thee. For I'm a God that will reward thee in the time of thy weeping. I am a God who will stand near to thee. But you must first seek me with all thine heart and all thy desire, and humble thyself and call upon my name. I'll be there that you do not have to look to other things, but look unto me.
me, that I shall lead you and carry you, and I'll be a God that will continue to bless you. If you'll only see your need to seek me now, look to me now, saith the Lord, for I am a God who shall strengthen thee in the very hour of temptation. Oh, hallelujah. Let's look to the Lord this morning and say, I'm telling you, it's the same God who's going to help us. It's the same God who's going to lead us. Oh, yes, I feel like I can just run through a troop this morning. You know what I feel on this Father's Day? He's a Father. He's a Father. He's there. He's there all the time. He's a true God. He's a never failing God. He's a God who's going to help us. Don't you just love him? Don't you want to cleave unto him? Amen. What does God require to be our Father? What does he want us to do on this Father's Day? He wants us to acknowledge him. He wants us to look to him. He wants us to follow him and say, God, here I am. Oh, lead me as I follow you. Oh, God, just lead me. Lead me. I want to follow you. Amen, Lord. Just guide me. Direct me. Help me. Strengthen me. Him. It's in him. It's in him. It's what God can do. We're weaklings. We're just clay. But we're in the hands of the potter. He's still making. He's still designing. You know that God's a good designer. He's made the blueprints. But who can read the blueprints? Who knows how to build a house? He's the master builder. But he's given us the plan. There's another message I preach. God has a plan for you. God has a purpose for your life. A plan and a design and a purpose. I preached one time from that very verse that people love and cherish so much in Romans 8:28. In that verse 8:28, people hold on to that verse. They cherish that verse. They hide it in their heart. All things shall work together for good.
Oh yes.
Them that love God. It's only going to come to those who really love God. What does it mean to really love Him, preacher? To really love God is to desire His attributes and characteristics of God. His characteristics and His attributes and the things of holiness and the things that we should pursue in His holiness. The things that we love in His holiness. The things that we're seeking after His righteousness. The things that we're pursuing in this life. To be a spiritual man. To be a spiritual woman. Amen. The Word of God is spiritually discerned and spiritually written. And therefore, how can we understand and know what God is saying to us if we're not first spiritual? Paul had that. Amen. In the church of Corinth, he said, you're carnal. Amen. You're not spiritual. Amen. That carnality is going to rob you from everything that God has first given to you. Carnal things and worldly desires, that you're so unstable in all your ways that you can't take a hold of the things that God desires for you to cherish and to love and so desire in Him, to walk in Him and to please Him in everything we do. The things that keeps us in the hour. Right here in this last day, in this last hour. The things that seems to try to overtake us in this life. We must prove ourselves before God. I believe, especially this last day church, you know what I feel that God really says to the child of God? Prove yourself. You say, how can I prove myself, preacher? You prove yourself unto God because you love God. Amen. I don't preach just because I feel that God has called me to preach. That's a very vital part of it. But I can first say that God's calling me to preach is because He knows I first loved Him, amen, and desired Him, and He had a purpose for my life, and He called me to preach this glorious gospel in order to keep up the pace and to run this race. I must continue to love Him. All things shall work together for good to them who love God and are called according to His purpose. Glory to God. Hallelujah. You got to first love Him.
Right.
People say many things with their lips, but their hearts are far away from God. Why, preacher? Because they don't love Him. Your actions will prove it. Your faithfulness will prove it. Amen. Your walk with Him. Your countenance, your ways. Amen. Even your attitude. That's why, as I brought it out, your attitude
about the evil, corrupt world is saying this: I hate evil, but I love good.
But we're living in a time when they call evil good and good evil. Is that right?
That's right.
So which way are we going to follow? Amen. We must love the good and hate the evil. Most people are loving the evil and hating the good. They're still saying, I love Jesus. And sing in the choir, but still follow those, amen, sinful lifestyles of this world. And they get called away. I preached about being called away in the Spirit. Amen. I preached the message, God help me to be one that can be just called away to the things of God. That God's enlightened us, He has helped us, He has blessed us, church. We are what we are. I am what I am by the grace of God. He's kept me. He's helped me. Because I first loved Him. We know what Scripture said. I love Him because He first loved me. Listen. God calls who He calls. God leads man. Yes, He does. He helps men to, amen, to be overseers of the church of God, which He has purchased with His own blood. Amen. He has called men to be overseers. He has called men to feed the flocks. But many men are drifting away from the truth. Many men are drifting away. But you know, God has a purpose for even for men that are not walking in the light as they need to be walking in. You know, as I told you, I talked to Brother John McGill on Thursday morning. He said he'd be dropping in sometime to visit the church. I said, come on by, brother. Drop in and see us. That afternoon, on the same day, I received another call. I looked across my phone. It's from Georgia. It had a 706 prefix number. 706, Georgia. I answered it. I said, hello. There was another brother I hadn't heard from in over 10 years. I never thought would ever hear from again. Asked for prayer. Amen. Asked for prayer. He said, I want to stop by your church sometime. Do it one day. About a 20-year gap and a 10-year gap. Then later on, I run into a female officer I used to work with. And she's having a lot of problems. And she's been having a lot of problems. Her sister had two sons. One, about 5 years ago or so, was killed in a house fire. And one, not too long back, at 21 years of age, died in her arms, aspirated to death, died right in her arms, lost both sons. She was telling me about it. She was telling me all the things that family's been going through. And she said, where's your church? I need to be in church. I'm sort of going here and yonder, but I need to come in. I want to hear you preach. I said, well, then something else happened this week. All that's happened this week, and then another thing happened. I had one officer come up to me, and we had been talking about a month or two ago about filming the video in the church. You know, I showed him a little bit on the internet how I was preaching, not only for audio, but for video. I told him, I said, the sister was operating that thing. She's not in the church anymore, and I don't know much about it, so we're not videoing the services anymore. He said, I'll tell you what I'll do. He said, I've got a practically brand new camcorder I'll donate to the church. He said, I paid over $500 for it. Friday night, he gave it to me. He said, I'll give you this for your church if you promise me one thing. Pray for me. All that took place this week. All I do is to ask you to pray for me. Name is Dave Wilson. Be praying for him. Amen. And God's able to help him. Whatever his need may be, God knows. But I'm telling you, saints of God, God works in mysterious ways. Amen. Glory to God. God can help us. Listen here. But I want to tell you this morning, God's saying there must be a spiritual separation. Saying, preacher, what is that sanctification? What is that separation? We know the depth of sanctification. I'm just sort of skimming the surface this morning. But I'm telling you this. This is the thing I want to get across to you. The things that allures you. The things that tempts you. The things that's calling you back. Saying this. I hate sin, but I love righteousness. I hate the devil, but I love Jesus. I hate the world, but I love the church.
Come on. Amen.
Amen. You know, when we begin to feast upon those kind of things, ain't something going to happen. Ain't something going to take place. There's going to be end results. How many believes that?
Amen.
Preacher, when you say in a spiritual separation, to be separate, saith the Lord, I will receive you. So what does that teach me this morning? If God's going to receive us, we must be separate. Is that right?
That's right, brother. Come on.
Yes, Lord.
Is that what he said? He said, if you be separate, said the Lord, I'll receive you. Then you shall be my son to my daughter. I'll be a father to you. You'll have to separate. We'll say, well, God, I've separated from my old buddies. Well, that's one little step. I've separated from the pool halls and the amen and the theaters and the Six Flags and the Carowinds and all the other places and whatever so on. That's another little part. Well, Lord, I don't go to the places I used to go. I'm not really doing the things that I used to do. But what about that desire? Where is that innermost desire to really be separated from the things? Well, if we're going to be separated, we got to be dedicated.
Right.
Is that right? Does that sort of go together?
Yeah.
To be separated is to be dedicated.
Right.
What shall that dedication lead me into? To really know what it is to have a father. What do you really mean? That's that intimate relationship. That's where it draws it right there. Preacher, you done told me to separate, and then you're telling me to dedicate. And then you're telling me that God's saying if we do this, he'll people get serious with God. That's when he's become real serious with you. Are you with me? Is that right? If we're not serious with God, we're sort of playing church, you know.
Right.
Sort of in and out and up and down and careless and really don't care. I love God, but then I'm not proving myself to really love him. Are you with me? Bible said, prove yourself, for you know not yourself. Examine yourself to see that we be in the faith. Ooh. What did Brother Beasley say? I'm not going to keep you up to 1 hour and 75 minutes. So if I got to 75 down, which is not quite 75, I got another hour to go. Is that right? This is Father's Day. I'm a father. But please, my heavenly Father, I have to hold on.
Thank you,
Lord. Is that right? Well, listen, saints of God, we are out to please him. We are out to serve the Lord. He's going to help us. We need to know the depths of what God is saying to us this morning. I want to love him more. I want to serve him more. I want to be a more of a servant for God. Not just saying what I am. I want to prove what I am. He said, we're going to prove ourselves to be a good soldier. Endure hardness as a good soldier. We've got to keep in this race. We've got to keep in the battle. Fighting our battles for us. But we must keep up the fight, the faith. And hold true to God. Just don't give up. We're almost home.
Right.
Almost through. Told my wife, it just seems like just left and right, ministry. God is just speaking. God, people coming up to me, like I say, just begging for prayer. Whether they ever stopped at the church or not, church, I said a ministry outside that door. You know, people I run into and the people I can share things with and the people I can pray for on the outside, hoping that sometime they'll come in and visit or come to attend this church or whatever God's plan is for them. I don't know. Only God knows, but I can say this, that there was an opportunity given.
Amen.
I don't take advantage of that opportunity. Let that opportunity pass me by like I've done something that did. So that's what it's all about. Ministry on the inside and ministry on the outside. Whatever God sends my way, I want to be a servant who can try to help somebody in their walk with the Lord. Try to encourage some soul. Just look to Jesus. Oh yeah, another thing happened this week. About to get it too. I had a female officer come up to me, talking a little bit about the internet. Out of the blue, she said, "My mother told me about something on YouTube." Started describing what it is. Now, I don't know what it is, but she began to describe what it is. Please, book a revelation of hell. YouTube, where she reads it all, but also Mary Baxter. Is a woman had written a book on the revelation of hell. She said, "I want to read that book." And it just come up out of the blue. What was that blue, preacher? What was going on? You see what I'm saying? I said, let's see what we can do about that. You see people, and then Frankie referred to about Cody. Remember? What it was, we had loaned the book out. Didn't have the book. A day or two ago, got it back. 2 days ago. Got the book back from somebody who was reading it. Have the book. And we like to pass around the book. Whatever we can do, church, to have an instrument in our hands, to give to somebody, who can help somebody. And listen, how God works in mysterious ways. And I'm telling you, whether it's through a camcorder, or whether it's through a book, or whether it's through words of comfort, or whether it's through a telephone call, amen, whether it's through a visit, listen, it doesn't matter, it don't make any difference. Amen. Which way it comes, it's opportunities. God opens the door of opportunity. And when God opens the door, no man can shut it.
That's right.
I say God is working. That's the thing about it. When we feel like Satan has us backed up against the corner, God's working. When we feel like the adversary has us backed up, amen, we don't have no more praise left. We've drained spiritually. Amen. We can't hold up our own two arms and praise because we've been beat down and we've been robbed. Amen. Because the devil come in, that roaring lion come in trying to seek whom he may devour. Just as sure as he's got you backed up in that wall. Well, you know, preacher, well, I come to know in Genesis chapter 2 what you read. Comes another message about the serpent. Maybe I can preach sometime. Preached on the message about do not listen to the serpent. Also a message concerning that serpent was on that brazen pole that bit many of the people. Don't be bitten by that serpent. Bite of the serpent. Think about how that serpent, he's talking about the other day, brother, when he took that viper and threw it off his hand, Paul, into the fire. We've heard that message recently. His message is about that serpent. And it's in the first starts of the chapters of the book of Genesis. Think about it. I know what he is at the very end. The serpent was from the beginning. Jesus tells it in the end. But the child of God who inherits eternal life and the things that shall follow him in the life to come. How about you this morning? May the Lord bless you. I'm coming to a close on this Father's Day. Help the Lord here this morning. I know God can help us, church. We are a church that needs more of the Lord. Whether we be few or whether we be many, God is able. I'm telling you, things that's happened to me this week, I just begin to shake my head. God, you're working. What can I do to help somebody? I preached a message one time late at the gate. You remember that message? Do believe it. God sends sums to your gate. It's up to, just going to be up to you. Help that person. I remember it was a powerful message. God just laid that upon my heart. Laid at the gate. What can we do about that person just laid at our gate?
What?
And we turn him aside. Or can we be a good Samaritan? They'll take him up. Mend his wounds. Take him in. Feed him. Shelter him. Pray for him. We're coming to an end, church. This is the ending now. We're coming down to the works of God. If you want the works of God to manifest in your life, if you want to produce in the vine, produce the fruits, and to produce what's coming out of you, let the world see it in you. These people out there, listen, we come to church and we see the same faces most all the time. And we want to praise God. We want to receive every time we come to church. But there's a lot of people I'm connected with that's not like you. They're yearning for help. They don't know where to get it. They're crying out. And maybe they know where to get it, but they're not going to get it. Whatever the case may be. But I'm telling you, amen, it's laid across your path. What are you going to do? What can we do to become a better servant for the Lord Jesus Christ in this last hour? Let us take time to pray this morning. Wherever you can find a place to pray, let's pray about this message. God, help me to be separated. Lord, help me to be dedicated. Help me to look to one who can strengthen me. Look to one who can help me and lead me this morning. I need your help. God, I need your blessings upon my life. God, just strengthen me this morning. Give me that little
Lord, without you, Lord, but with you all things in Christ. Thank you, Christ.